Galatians, where he says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to the flesh, to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And then those closing words of Jesus, where he says, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you send us out into the world so that others can have their names also written in heaven. So may your words give us strength to do that. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, so they may be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Yes, everyone has something that they are passionate about, and that works two ways. You get enthused on the particular topic that you're passionate about, but then sometimes something will hit a raw nerve when you hear maybe something spoken against that. Now, for some people, it's politics. They get quite passionate and hit a raw nerve when maybe something is said against what they believe. Happens similar issues like climate change, renewable energy, or other environmental issues. We get passionate about it, but then when people have different views, it can actually hit a raw nerve with us. Now, for me, the raw nerve for me is hit when I hear people misusing terms that the church holds sacred. I listen to radio and TV and I get really frustrated and annoyed when I hear people using terms like for Christ's sake, or Jesus Christ, you have to be kidding, or for God's sake, or even Christ, it's cold today. People don't even think about using things like, oh my God, or OMG, as we use in our text language. In fact, these terms rub me the wrong way, even more than the general swearing that we hear so prolific in the public today. Now, I've written letters. I've written to TV stations, to radio stations. I've written letters to the editor, and really it has no effect. The response usually comes back that these are accepted terms in society today. I also get upset when I watch, well, what gets termed as comedy these days, and they make fun of the church, they make fun of Christians, they make fun of priests and nuns. And it's all done in the name of comedy, and yet we are told that we dare not criticise or make fun of other people's religions or spiritual beliefs that they hold dearly. It seems that when it comes to respecting people's religious beliefs and traditions, that those terms don't apply to the Christian church. Now, I'm not sure how you feel about it, but as I said, this is one of the areas that I'm passionate about, and it really does hit a raw nerve with me. But how should we feel when the church is attacked? Whether it's through mockery or whether it is a physical attack. Now, St. Paul, who wrote our letter to the Galatians today, he knew firsthand what it was like to be attacked, both physically and also spiritually. He was whipped, he was stoned, he was beaten, you know, almost to death physically. But then he also had, you know, spiritual attacks also. In fact, there was one stage there where Paul was on the other side. He was the one attacking the church physically. He was arresting Christians and even putting some to death. But now he's on the receiving end. And he has to work out what is he going to do. Because he could spend his entire ministry defending the church. But if he spent all his energy defending the church, That means that his energy would be taken away from his true mission, to take the gospel into all the world. Paul was even quite prepared to undergo great suffering. He was arrested and put in prison. Now, he could have used his time to defend himself and perhaps have his appeal granted and not go to prison. But he didn't do that. Instead, what he did, he used that as an opportunity to bring the gospel to the prisoners. It says in Acts 16, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. So Paul uses any opportunity to take the gospel out, not worrying about whether or not he has to defend the church and God. And so today he assures us and he says, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. God is the one who can protect himself. Because if we spend our time defending God, we can also take time away from the true mission we have been given, to go out into the harvest field and take the gospel. We also therefore need to be careful in how, if we do defend the church and God, because we can become just as aggressive and just as physical in our damage in trying to make sure that God's name is not dishonoured. Paul says to let us not grow weary in doing what is right. Because so often, and I'm sure you've seen it, that in defending the church, we have seen probably even worse things said and done. Jesus himself tells us that when we are rejected, simply dust or brush the dust of our feet and move on. Because if we stay and defend, we may miss out on a harvest field that is waiting for us. And Jesus made no secret of the fact that we're going to find opposition. He says, I'm sending you out like lamb among wolves. In fact, we should, by all accounts, be concerned if we go out there and we don't find a rejection of the message. Jesus said on more than one occasion, he says, you will be hated by everyone because of me. He also said, if that the world hates you, just remember it hated me first. So Jesus makes he doesn't keep it a secret that we're going to find opposition. Now, it's not the case that we should look for hatred or look for rejection by antagonizing people where the gospel is not ready to be received. No, he says that will happen by nature. Paul said last week how we are to live our lives as we go out into the world. He says you go out there with the fruits of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And yet so often as we try to defend the church, these become sadly missing. We lose our self-control. We lose our gentleness. We lose our patience and kindness. And despite how we go out with all the good intentions, we will still find a world that is hostile to us. And the reason for that is because we are living in what we call a spiritual battle. It is spiritual warfare out there for Christians. And we have a very powerful enemy. And he goes by the name Satan. And we heard his name mentioned in our gospel reading today. Now, we don't understand a lot about Satan. But what we hear from Jesus is that he saw Satan fall like lightning to the earth. We know that he was rejected and dismissed from God, from heaven, and sent to earth. And he is here with one mission, as Jesus says, to kill, steal, and destroy. So our fight is not a physical fight. Our fight is very spiritual. And so, friends, our weaponry needs to be spiritual as well, not physical. Our weaponry is our prayer life. As Jesus says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out more workers. Our weaponry is God's word. We saw Jesus resist the temptation of Satan by "it is written." Our weaponry is our worship, where we gather and we are blessed and strengthened by God. Our weaponry is our baptism, where we are covered by the righteousness of God and to know that we are not alone, that I am with you always. And our weaponry we will receive very soon as we receive the body and blood of Christ to remind us that Jesus is there with us. And so when the disciples went out, having been sent by Jesus, he sent them out without physical needs, or physical baggage rather. He said, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Lighten your load and take just the spiritual needs. And so they came back rejoicing. It says the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. But Jesus reminds him that the battle is never over. Satan and his demons will return, as he did with Jesus. When he tempted him three times, he left until a more opportune time. So they're told, don't rejoice that the demons submit to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And that too should be our motivation. Our names are written in heaven, and we want others there with them. And there is nothing the world can do to take that away from us. It can take away our Christmas carols being sung in public. It can take away our Christmas decorations. It can take away our Merry Christmas and replace it with Happy Holidays. But it cannot take our names out of the Book of Life in heaven. And that's something that Satan cannot do either. But what Satan can do is shift our focus so that the gospel is taken away from our message. And he can change the message that we take out there and make it one of legalism and moralism. And how often don't we see that? That the church's main message is about moralism and legalistic behavior. Satan goads us into a fight that is not ours. And Paul said, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. It is God who will bring the appropriate judgment at the appropriate time. We are called to work for the good of all. And especially, he says, for those of the family of faith. So we work for each other firstly. We build each other up in our mission and ministry and our faith. And we build up the family of faith that are not with us. And you know who they are. If we focus on the negativity in the world and the insults that we receive, then we're going to be weighed down trying to defend something that doesn't need defending. And it will stop what needs to go out. So let us focus on what is important, that our names are written in the Book of Life in heaven, and it is God's will that all be saved and come to a knowledge of him. As it says, God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish. So let us forge ahead and stay strong in our faith despite the opposition, despite what is said about Christians, despite what is said about the church, as we build on the rock that is Christ, not even the gates of hell will overcome it. So may the peace of God that surpasses all of our understanding keep our hearts and our minds forever in Christ Jesus. Amen.